And the Bible said when God called them out of Egypt, that their shoes lasted. Every dog don't make shoes like that either. You love Jesus? When we come to the place to where we esteem the riches of God or the sufferings of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, then God will do something for us. But until we come to the place to where we realize that we cannot hurry God and that God is not going to work according to our almanac, it's not until then that God will do something for us. I have in my lifetime met some of the smartest people in the world, some of the shrewdest evangelists, women and men alike. And they were really plowing the fields. They were so sure that they were sure that they were sure. But they found out they wasn't sure. The Bible said when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. So then, there is a way. And Jesus said, I'm that way. There is a way to God. There is a true way to God. Everybody isn't going to go that way. I know that many of you will never follow me as I follow Christ. I know that. But that doesn't change the fact that some of you will follow me as I follow Christ. Everybody isn't going to be saved, but somebody is going to be saved. I want to be that somebody, don't you? Yeah. Hallelujah. So then I want to do what I can for God while I can for God. When I come together with you, I come for one purpose. That is to tell you what I understand from God. I make it a practice to talk to Jesus. The Bible teaches that if we are to teach, then we must communicate with Him who is taught in all things. If I am to tell you or advise you, then it is necessary for me to be in touch with Him. If I am not in touch with Him, then I will do you exactly like Aaron did the people. The people press the ministry, and they want something. And the ministry gets the idea that if I don't do something and do something in a hurry, that they're going to run off and leave me and they're going to get them another evangelist. And all of a sudden, the ministry begins to do something. You say, what do? They begin to make some golden calves. They begin to shout. They begin to take up an offering. You know, it takes a big offering to make a golden calf. And everybody has themselves a time. But there's coming a day, brothers and sisters, when Moses is going to grind it up and put it in the water. And they're going to have to swallow it down, and it's going to be a bitter dose. There came a day when Elijah called the prophets of Jezebel to a showdown. And it was a bitter dose. And we're coming to the hour when it's going to be a bitter dose. Now you say, but Brother Pike, I'm a fasting man. That doesn't answer the situation. Somebody said, but I'm a praying man. But that doesn't answer the situation. I fasted. That didn't answer it. I prayed hours upon hours, but that didn't answer it. Amen. I've been down in the morning and not come up till the evening. I've been down in the evening and not come up till the morning. But that didn't answer it. There's more to it than that. You say, what is it, Brother Pike? There is a time that you must sit and listen to God. There is a time that you must learn, and nobody is going to get it any different. Every person is going to go the same route. And these heaped up, souped up, get it quicks, it'll be ground up and put in the water, and they'll have to swallow it down, and it'll be a bitter dose. There is one route. God has it for everyone. And we're going to have to travel that road. I'm glad I chose that road. You know, in my life when I was real young, I used to like to take shortcuts. And just as sure as I found a shortcut, I'd take it. Usually I had blowout tires and not enough gas to get there. And I'd take a shortcut. But almost every time I can ever remember where I took a shortcut, I always found it was the long way home. So I made up my mind that the shortest route to heaven is the long way around. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. And so then I found out that there is such a thing as a revelation. And then I found out that there is such a thing as the revelation. And I tried a revelation, but it didn't work. But one day when God spoke to my heart and gave me the revelation, it worked. Zeal won't work. The Jews had a zeal, but it was without the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, you got a zeal? Said, but it's without this revelation that God gave me. It's without knowledge. Isn't that right? Said, so I'll leave you Jews and I'll go to the Gentiles. And he said to them, he said, now you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Now during this camp meeting, I hope we have some healings. If we don't have some healings, then we wouldn't have much of a camp meeting. I hope we'll cast out some devils. Because if we didn't, it wouldn't be much of a camp meeting. People need devils cast out of them. People need to be healed. And I hope that we'll do all of these things. And I believe we will. But there is something we need more than to cast out devils. Casting out devils is not enough. The Bible said when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it'll wander through dry places seeking rest. And then it returns. Now, so then there's more to it than casting out devils. There's more to it than praying. There's more to it than fasting. There's more to it than a person receiving a miracle or being healed. Jesus worked a miracle or a healing, and Jesus said, go thy way and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So it takes more than that. The devil can come back and the sickness can come back. So it's going to take more than that. What is it all about? Not miracles. Healings, that's not what it's all about. To tell somebody their thoughts, that's not what it's all about. But God said, it is by my spirit. What do we need? The spirit of revelation. Without my spirit, you're none of mine. Now, I said this the other night when the writer demanded that the people come into the spirit of revelation, he was not talking to sinners. I want to remind you of that. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I've got the spirit of God. And what God was trying to do was tell them sinners they need to get the spirit of God. No, that wasn't it at all. He wasn't talking to sinners. Because the Bible said we know that God heareth not sinners. Why would Paul tell sinners to pray for the revelation or the spirit of revelation when the Bible said God heareth not sinners? He was talking to the church people. They had already repented. They had already received God. But Paul had something they didn't have. He had something Peter didn't have. Come on. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you believe that Paul had something Peter didn't have? When Peter raised the dead and cast out devils and he shattered healed people, Paul had something Peter didn't have. That's why that Paul said, I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. Peter had the keys to the kingdom. But Paul had the revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody would say, you mean to tell me that Peter did not have the revelation of Jesus Christ? Peter did not have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul had the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how he was able to blame Peter to his face. Peter had the keys to the kingdom. He opened it both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Now, Paul shared the revelation of Jesus Christ with Peter. And old Peter said, Paul said some things hard to be understood. That feller has got something. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, Peter walked with Jesus. That's great. But Paul still had something different from that. What was it? He had Christ inside of him. He didn't walk with Jesus. Jesus lived inside of him. You follow me? You may walk with Jesus like Peter did if he was here in the natural. A lot of times you do it walking side by side with bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You may walk with Jesus, but Peter did that. But when the trial came and the testing time came, Peter cursed and denied that he ever knew him. But Paul never cursed, neither did Paul deny that he knew him. Because Christ was in the heart of Paul. Not with Paul as Peter, but in the heart of Paul. God said, Peter, when you get converted, go back to preaching. Strengthen the brethren. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. So then what ought the church to do? Pray that God will grant unto them the spirit of revelation. If we quit worrying so much about the gifts and start worrying about the spirit of revelation, we'd be a lot better off. Now, I know Paul said covet a gift. But he said, I show you a more excelling way. A more excellent way, Paul said, is to follow after charity. For faith works by love and the gifts operate by faith. So then what we need to do is to follow after charity, pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation and then covet a gift. That's what we need to do. If we then do that, we'll have everything in order. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, we're here to tell you the truth. I want to read just a little bit in the book of St. John, and I don't know what I'll say to you. There's a whole lot of things I want to say to you. I mean, just a lot of things. But now what I'll say to you, I don't know. But read over in the book of St. John with me in the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. I've been right there to Bethany. I've been right there in that tomb. The town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, you know, I want to ask you a question. How was it that Jesus knew that this sickness was not unto death? Can you tell me? Do you know why it was not unto death? Can you tell me why that he knew it? How that he knew it? By the revelation. Paul said, lest I speak unto you by doctrine or by revelation. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master's come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come unto the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus saith to them, Loose him and let him go. Now, there's about three different things that I'd like to read there and point out. One of them, he said, Take away the stone. Another one of them said, If thou wouldst believe, that thou couldst see the glory of God. And then another one of them, it is said here, The Master is come. All right, tonight I'd like to say something if I could. And one thing I'd like to talk about, and that is, The Master is come. There is something that God is doing in this hour that has never been done before. He's going to do something that even though we had all the prophets, all of the great men, all of the great powers, God never did what he's doing now. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what is this so great that God's doing? God has raised the dead. God has opened the blind eyes. God has unstopped the deaf ears. What greater thing can God do? But God never has at any time redeemed the body or translated the church. Never before. The hour, the divine hour of the translation of the church is here. I was over at this grave, and my wife and I went down into this grave where Lazarus was buried. You have to go way down some steps. It's little old narrow steps. Way down, then around the corner, into a little old nook way down in a cave that they dug out. And it's a true fact that just speaking in the natural, if the Lord Jesus had a call Lazarus, just with a natural voice, he would have really had to holler loud just to have got him to hear. So the Bible said with a loud voice he hollered. You know, when we think of Jesus, we always think of Jesus as somebody that just says, hello, Brother Pine. But we never picture Jesus hollering at the people the way I am hollering at the people. But the Bible says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people of their sins. Said he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel good, don't you? Said, come out of there, Lazarus. And old brother Lazarus came out of there. Hallelujah. You're talking about revival. But camp meeting was on. When Lazarus came out of that tomb, they didn't have to send out any advertisement. They didn't have to have any television spots, nor radio spots or whatever they had in that day. When Lazarus come out of that grave and peeled off the grave clothes, revival was on. Hallelujah. Why was revival on? Because the Master had come. They said the Master's come, and revival was on. Brother, when God comes, when the Master comes, it's time for revival. Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. The Master's here. I feel him. Said, go tell him the Master's here. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, Brother Pye, do you believe I ought to go away from this service tonight and tell them that they ought to come over to the camp meeting at the Master's over there? I believe you ought to do it. Hallelujah. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, I, the Master, I will be in the midst of them. So then the Master's come. The Master is here. Go tell them that the Master has come. How do you feel the Master? How many of you believe the Master's here? Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Jesus walked the earth, he said, you rave about Solomon. He said, I'll tell you a greater one than Solomon's here. Oh, hallelujah. He said, a greater than Solomon is here. Go tell them the Master's come. Hallelujah. And so then when Lazarus came up out of the tomb, revival was on. God had spoken to Mary and Martha, and he told them, he said, Mary, he said, I've been trying to tell you ever since I've been preaching around here in Bethany that something was going to happen. And I'm going to tell you, just keep your faith up. Keep watching. Something's going to take place. And then the hour drew near for it. And it thrilled Jesus. Hallelujah. It thrilled Jesus. Now was this great moment to show the power of deity. He said, Martha, didn't I tell you? Mary, didn't I tell you? He said, didn't I say if you believed that the glory of God would come down and you'd see the glory of God? The wicked shall not see when good cometh. But oh, hallelujah. Mary and Martha saw it. Oh, glory. And so out of the tomb he arose. He came out of the tomb. Why? The master was there. Glory to God. I'll tell you something, folks. We're waiting for a word. Ain't we? We're waiting for a word. But we're not waiting for a word from the preacher. No. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for a word from God. When Jesus walked through the land, Jesus said, my words are spirit. My words are life. My words can awaken the dead. If thou canst hear my voice, you shall live, Jesus said. Everyone that can hear me in the grave shall live. Lazarus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. He was in a deep sleep. Jesus said he was. But Lazarus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that was. Said everyone that's in the grave that hears these words. Said the grave clothes can't hold them. Brother, let me tell you, if those that are buried in the sod, if these words are so piercing and powerful and so mighty that they can penetrate the dirt and go into the bones of Israel and make them to live again, what can it do for little Bethlehem? What can it do for those that are living stones? Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm going to have to die and go into the grave so I can glorify God, so I can wake in his likeness. But Brother David didn't feel that way about it, did he? David didn't feel that way. David had a heart like God's heart. He didn't feel that way. David said, my foolishness makes my wounds to stink. But he said, God, I can't praise you if you put me in the dirt. I can't sing how great thou art. I can't say hallelujah. I can't extol and lift up in the presence of my brother the name of Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. David said, let me keep on living. Let me keep on living. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. How much less in the death of the righteous? See, God don't want you to die. Somebody said, but I got cancer. I'm dying, Brother Pine. Another said, I'm having a nervous breakdown. I can't hold myself together. Another said, this is mental fatigue, Brother Pine. Another said, my heart's giving out on me. Oh, my strength won't go anymore. I'm spiritually defeated. But I got some news for you. You say, what is it, preacher? The master's here. The master's come. God's here tonight. And he wants to do something for you. What can he do for me? He's got some words that spirit in life. What kind of words are they? He said to that weak one, let that weak one say, I'm strong. Come on now. All that I have is thine. I'll give everything I've got to thee. Go on and take the land. But remember, you got to do it by faith. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I tried to take the land and couldn't take it. You know why you tried to take it and failed? It's because you tried to do it on your own. Isn't that right? But God said step by step from faith to faith. Come on. From faith to faith. From faith to faith. Did you try it by faith? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, it was translated. I know he was. But he didn't go to college to get translated. Come on. He didn't join the Assemblies of God, nor the Baptists. But the Bible said he was translated by faith. Where is your faith, Jesus said? What does that faith come from? Said in the last days they deny the faith, depart from the faith. He didn't mean to leave the Assemblies of God and the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, the Pentecostal, the Protestant. the Jewish assembly. God didn't mean that. What did he mean? That they would leave the word of God and they would be turned into old wives' fables and they'd be turned into vain jinglings and things of this world. Idolatry. What is an old wives' fable? The flesh. Come on. The flesh. Somebody say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I'm talking about the flesh. That's an old wise fable. Somebody said, you don't know what I know. Well, come, I don't know what you know. Because I read a book about the old wise fables. Come on, folks. Where are you hiding? Hallelujah. But Jesus said, my words are spirit. And they are revelation. They are spiritual revelation. They are word of life. Spirit and life. Glory to God, I feel somebody getting all energized. I do. I feel somebody taking this to heart. I feel somebody getting lifted up in the spirit, getting strengthened. I can tell. How many of you stay long enough for me to talk to you a little bit? I'll try not to hold you long because it's hot. But if I stay with you, I'm going to have a swallow of water along. Is that all right? I'm really running out. Hallelujah. You know, that's the way we are. We give it out and we take it back in. We give it out and we take it back in. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. It's all right to take it back in if you're giving it back out. Isn't that right? Otherwise, you get waterlogged. But I'm doing all right tonight. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Now, let's look at it again. Something was taking place. Now, the thing is, why was it taking place? There was a reason why that it took place. It was because the Master was there. Now, look at it. Here at Little Bethlehem, I made the statement yesterday. I said, it seems like at Little Bethlehem, there's always something taking place. There was a spiritual transition, a spiritual translation. There is a spiritual awakening. There is a little spark that's springing up. And there is something that's happening here at Bethlehem. Everything seemed to be fitting together. I was talking to a brother in the late afternoon concerning the things that happened. I related a little bit to my fellow brethren here before I went over to Europe about what God was doing spiritually. See, not only is there the Word of God, which is the Bible, but there is a revelation in the hour for which we are now living. It's like I said this morning, when I was over in Israel, that was wonderful. I walked where Elisha lay. I walked where Abraham lay. I walked along where Sarah was, Joseph and the brethren, and many of the great, wonderful patriarchs of old. I was there. I stood on the sod. Some of you have. And there they lay beneath the dirt. And I couldn't help but think how wonderful and magnificent it was. I thought, Lord, this is such a wonderful thing. How great it is. The very dust of the earth out of which Adam was made. I'm close to it. And I said, somewhere, God, Adam and Eve is laying down beneath this dirt. And Abraham and Joseph and the brethren. I thought it so wonderful. In King David. Hallelujah. Goliath. I said, they're laying down, and many multiplied others. They're laying down. I said, this is the place where Jesus himself, my Savior, laid down in the sod where Lazarus lay, and you awoke him. I said, God, this is the place. But the Lord spoke to me. I said, this is wonderful, all the world could see it. But God said, son, a living prophet is better than a dead prophet. But I said, God, this is the prophets of old. But he said, you're son of God. Hallelujah. And he said, there's none greater than the sons of God. no profit. Whew, I tell you what. I said, praise God. I was feeling better all the while. All the while. And then God began to talk to me about little Bethlehem. And he said to me, he said, son, them folks at little Bethlehem are alive with my spirit. They're not dead. They're not laying down in the stall. He said, but they are alive. They're breathing. They can testify and shout the victory and tell people of the glory of God. He said to me, he said, isn't that greater? I ask you tonight, which is the greatest? Which is the greatest? Come on. A dead cow or a living dog, which is better? Say it for the benefit of you skeptics. A dead cow or a living dog. Somebody said, well, if I had the cow, but the dog can catch a rabbit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God said, these are living, lively stones. They're my people. They're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in them. I said, my. Lord, I always thought this was wonderful. You know, at little Bethlehem. But so many people criticize it, you know, sometimes you have to stop and pray. But when the Lord began to talk about it, it sounded pretty good. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Moses, they talked about him so much, Brother Walker, and they criticized him so much, the poor fellow, all he knew to do was just drop his head and go off somewhere and not eat for about 40 days. Amen. But I'll tell you what, when they got God stirred up about it, God came down there and he stood there with Miriam and stood there with Aaron and he said, I want to talk with you. Said, you bunch of critics, come on. I want to have a conversation with you, God said. Wasn't you afraid to use that criticizing tongue of yours? Hallelujah. God said, did I ever tell you anything about Moses? Did I ever tell you the story about Moses? My man Moses said, Miriam, I'd like to tell you about it. Aaron, did I ever tell you the story about my man Moses? He said, come over here. They come over there and he said, Moses. Somebody said, now look out, Brother Pike. You're going to overdo it. There stands a man up there and you're going to take God's glory and you're going to overdo it. You're going to lift him up. God said, come here, Miriam and Aaron. Said, I want to talk to you. Hallelujah. You know when we think we know something, we don't know something as we ought to know. Isn't that right? So I'd like to have a little talk with you. Story about a man called Moses. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, when you tell the story about Moses, that's one thing. But when God takes time to step down, hallelujah, from the thrones of glory and tell the story about Moses, there's something going on. So did I ever tell you about Moses? You know, he's got a story about little Bethlehem, too. He ain't told it to some of you yet, but someday he will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, Miriam said, let me tell you something. He said, there ain't a man in all the earth like Moses. Somebody said, wait a minute, God, you're going to overdo it there. Look out. Don't you know that? That's a man. He said, he's the meekest man in all the earth. Said, there ain't a man living like my man Moses. Said, you better keep your mouth closed, Miriam. And already you've done said too much, he said. The hand of God went out and leprosy struck. And she had to race out of the camp saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. God said, don't you come back till you've got respect for my man Moses. Hallelujah! That's the trouble with some of you today. That's why you're having problems. That's why you're having sicknesses. That's why you're running from place to place. That's why you're doing the way you're doing. You can't leave God's man Moses alone. The Bible said, do all things without murmuring and without complaining. Somebody say hallelujah.
Glory to God. I'm feeling better, ain't you? I'm on your side, Brother Walker. You better say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Us preachers stick together. We better stick together. Ain't nobody going to help us. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Brother Moses, that wasn't the end of the story. God said, Moses, said, you know what? You know, they feel like that we're overdoing it a little bit, you know. We're lifting Brother Walker up a little bit too much, you know. So I tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. Hallelujah. Said, I think I'm just going to make you God. Come on, folks. I said, Jehovah said to Moses, I've made thee God to the people. Woo! Somebody said it's time to evangelize. It's getting too hot at Little Bethlehem. Come on. Boy, if you're a traveling evangelist, you better start traveling. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Said, I made you God to the people. You know, somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Let's be reasonable about this thing now. Said, you're talking about Moses. Yes, sir. Moses. Said, you're talking about Moses. Now, you're talking about Moses. But we're talking about Brother Taylor. How in the world did Brother Taylor get into it? Hallelujah. Said, but we're talking about Brother Taylor. But did you know that Jesus said there's no greater than John, not even Moses. But said, and when you come to Brother Taylor, said, that's a different subject. Come on. Come on, folks. Do you believe Franklin Taylor's the Son of God? He said, notwithstanding the very least, if you feel I'm the least. He said, the very least is greater than Moses. Brother, if he made him a God to the people, what did he make us at Little Bethlehem? It's no wonder Jesus said, I've called you gods. Hallelujah. Somebody said, don't you go follow no man now. Now, don't you dare do it. Hallelujah. That one is talking to you there, telling you not to follow no man. You leave him alone. Amen. And when that old man of yours begins to talk to your brain and tell you to leave the man alone, leave him alone. Don't be following no man, but you come over here where these gods are. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. I said, you come over here where these gods are. Somebody said, there it is. I knew it all the time. I was just waiting for you to say it. I knew that's the way you felt about it all the time. Now the kid is out of the bag, see? Now you know it. Glory to God, I believe we got a bunch of gods over here. Amen. Down at the meeting the other night, down there somewhere, down there at White Cross, Brother Taylor, he got up and he spoke a little bit encouraging about our ministry. And a fella, he run off and called somebody outside the tent in the dark. He didn't realize about that time I was preaching about Judas betraying, going out in the darkness, and he stepped out. Called somebody out, said, he's in there lifting him up like he's a god. Somebody said, was he a minister? Said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, it's camp meeting time. It's revival. Where? Everywhere the master is. Where is the master? Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. How can you love God whom you've not seen if you don't love that master you're looking at? Come on now. Somebody said, boy, you're going to blow a fuse for sure now. Why? Paul said, be subject to your masters. But he said, you can't serve two masters. Oh, hallelujah. It gets better all the time. The longer you stay at Little Bethlehem, the better you are. Somebody said, well, I don't see what you're doing so much. It ain't so much what we're doing, it's what we're believing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's what we believe around here, little Bethlehem. That's what makes it so sweet. Jesus, they went to stone him. When they got ready to stone him, they threw the stones at him. And Jesus said, hey, wait a minute, fellas. He said, what are you doing this to me for? Didn't I open the blind eyes and didn't I unstop the deaf ears? And I have not tried to be a friend to you. I preached to you in your synagogue. Said, why come you throwing rocks at me? And they stopped, you know. You know, folks do things. They don't know why they're doing it. Say, why are you doing that? Say, well, he done it. Well, why did he do it? Because she done it. Say, well, why did she do it? Because they done it. And Jesus said, what are you doing? They said, we're going to stone you. Jesus said, well, I wish you'd tell me which one of the works I've done that this, you know, I did that caused this to come on like this. He said, for which work do you stone me? Oh, they said, we're not stoning you for that. He said, we enjoyed you opening blind eyes and unstopping the deaf ears and making the lame walk. Said, that ain't what we're stoning you about. Well, he said, well, why'd you do that? Come on, folks. Hallelujah. So why come you want to throw stones at them people at Little Bethlehem? So didn't they give somebody a nice automobile like that? Well, we're not upset about that. Well, didn't they send some clothes in Mexico? We're not upset about that. Well, didn't somebody testify that they got healed down there? I said, but we ain't troubled about that. Say, but why do you want to throw stones at them? Hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Why couldn't you want to throw rocks at them people? Now, this is where they got off track, folks. Said, you being a man, that's where they jumped the gun. Come on now. Come on, that's where they jumped the gun. Said, you being a man. But the Bible said God is not a man. How can God be a man? I've not called you men, Jesus said, but I said you're gods. But ye shall die like men. Why? Because you don't believe what I'm telling you. Why should you die like a man? Come on now, you want to stay with me a few minutes? Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? Said, now, I've called you gods, but you're going to die like a man. Say, folks, I ain't planning to die. Come on now. Said, I ain't planning to die. Somebody said, now, wait a minute. You old bald-headed fella, you wait a minute now. Why come you ain't planning to die? Somebody said, don't you know I'm a Bible scholar? Say, you are? Yes, sir. I'm going to quote the word to you. So the devil, he hops up on the perch and he says, cast yourself down from here. That's where it's written. Somebody said, I'm a Bible scholar, Brother Pike. My Bible tells me it's appointed unto man once. Now, wait a minute. It's appointed unto who? Come on now. Where are you at? Where are you living, folks? He said, you shall die like men. For it's appointed unto man once to die, but not unto gods. Not unto sons of God. God never gave an appointment to death for sons of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath power in this resurrection. Death don't have no power over him. I feel like preaching, don't you? But we better not go any farther. We better not go any farther. Hallelujah. I'll sure enough have them throwing stones at us. Come on, folks. I have you to stand with me. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you feel like shouting, shout. Dance a little bit. Shout a little bit. Praise God a little bit. That's all right. I I told you they didn't understand. They don't understand. Hallelujah. I love them, but they don't understand. You say, why don't they understand? Because they're traveling evangelists. You say, what's that got to do with it? The Lord said, be still and know that I'm God. Hallelujah. Like our brother Hayes said today, God's got some things he'd like to say to us too. Isn't that right? Be still. Hallelujah. Said they run it one that beat it there. I believe in traveling evangelists. I really do. I believe in going to all the world, but not the vacation. Not as one that beateth the air, because that wasn't what it said. It said to preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, I'm a traveling evangelist. That don't mean you're preaching the gospel. Somebody said, but I know what I'm telling. So does the devil. He knows what he's telling too. He knows why he's telling it. That don't mean you're preaching the gospel. The gospel. Words of spirit and life. Jesus said these words are a mystery. And he said inside of this mystery, he said it's life. When it's unveiled, he said this river, this stream, it comes out and makes the city of God glad. It makes them glad. He said it's life. Oh, it's life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life more abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. Brother Walker, you'll come up here and sing, I feel good, good, good. Because I believe you do. Would you come up here and sing, I feel good for us? Hallelujah. How many appreciate our brethren? Jesus said, love one another. Folks, when you love one another, that's when you're on the right trail right there. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You know, I feel real good. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Spirit. And not only I alone, but the church. And the preacher was anointed under the power. We enjoy such a wonderful message from the pastor. So we're going to join in and sing, I Feel Good. I feel good, good, good. I feel real wonderful, good. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel good. I feel good, good, good. I feel real wonderful, good. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel good. I feel good, good, good. I feel real wonderful, God. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel. Clap your hands, brethren. Yes, I feel good, good, good. I feel real wonderful, God. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel God. I feel God, God, God. I feel real wonderful, God. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel God. One more time. Yes, I feel God, God, God. I feel real wonderful, God. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel God. I'd like to sing another one. Amen. Time, time, yes, time is winding up. Time, time, oh yes, time is winding up. Destruction and the land, but God has got his plan. Time is winding up. Oh, time, time, yes. time as time is winding up, destruction and land, but God has got his plan. Time is winding. One more time. Time is winding up. Time, yes, time is winding up. Destruction and death, but God has got his time. Time is winding up.